Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Come for Supper. I'm Alexandra Dudley, food writer, cook, and serial dinner party host. So I thought it'd be fun to sit down with people who share that love for food, chat about life, and learn a little bit more about how they like to serve supper. I speak to chefs, restaurateurs, artists, actors, authors, and pretty much anyone who likes to entertain. If you're new to the podcast, make sure you click subscribe. And if you enjoy it, rate it, review it, share it, and tell your friends, as it makes all the difference. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. Today in the studio, I am joined by a best-selling cookbook author, food columnist, and chef. She has written 4 cookbooks, her latest, Eat Green, out earlier this year. She also writes monthly recipes for The Telegraph, as well as a sustainability column for Vogue, sharing practical tips on how to make a positive impact on our planet. She is a passionate supporter of Fairtrade UK, the Soil Association, and the Felix Project, and an all-round champion in celebrating real ingredients and the farmers who grow them. Her wholesome and nourishing recipes have inspired thousands to pick up the pan and get cooking, and her food is delicious. I've tried it and can confirm that. Welcome to the studio, Melissa Hemsley.
Hello, thank you very much for having me. Oh, I do like the word wholesome.
Oh, it's a great word. Wholesome and nourishing. Did I say nourishing?
Yeah, nourishing. Is a good word.
But wholesome feels kind of like filling.
Yeah,
that's
wholesome,
why it's important.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Wholesome, wholesome, comforting,
comforting,
cozy.
Yeah.
Tis the time of year to get wholesome.
It is. So where have you come from today? It's busy time. You're on book tour, right?
I'm on book tour. It is lovely to be in the womb of your recording studio. I have just come battled through the streets of Shoreditch, see some storms, to be here. And it is just lovely to take a little moment to chat and also congratulate you on your wonderfulness and all the nice things that are going on in your life.
Thank you very much. So Eat Green is out. 4th baby, well done. So what's it about? Talk to me about it. I have it.
Well, it's very up your strata.
No, I know.
It's very up your strata. It's building on things that I've tried. I sort of, tested the water with people in the first 2 books because, you know, what it's like, you just sort of think, oh, when you have a book, you think, shall I put everything into it?
Or cater for everyone.
Or should I cater for everyone? And so we were talking about, my sister and I, Jasmine, gut health. We were told not to talk too much about gut health because you can't talk about guts and cooking at the same time. It's not sexy. Then we realised actually, of course people want to talk about gut health. And then slowly, slowly, through it all, I've been sort of testing the waters of my last book. Did people want to know about leftovers and waste-free and touch on mental health and maybe talk more about things in a holistic way? And they did. And then I finally realised that I just need to really, really trust that I know what people want, because it's kind of what I want, which is, what can you do to have a more positive impact on the planet by wasting less food, saving more money, eating in a more enjoyable, mindful way? None of us have any time, so 30 minutes is always going to work. One pan and just celebrating veg in all its glory. Mm-hmm. So there's meat, there's fish, there's cheese, there's butter. But if you're vegetarian, every recipe can be vegetarian.
Stopped out.
So there's lots of freestyling,
and it feels
stuff.
Super veg-centric, favourite
word.
It
is.
I have to get it in there.
Oh, yeah.
Veg-centric. Great
veg-centric
word. But it feels veg-centric.
It
but
is.
Kind of in an easy way.
And I know that's the way you cook too. I always think about vegetables first, and then I've stolen this line off. I've read it somewhere. I don't know who wrote it. I better Google it. So, they said something like, think of meat or think of animal products as an ingredient and not the ingredient.
Oh, that's great. That's
who
very
said
clever.
That? I'm going to look that up in a minute.
It's probably like Michael Pollan or something like that, isn't it?
It probably is.
I bet it is.
But I think that's really, whoever it is, I need to find out, totally hit the nail on the head. And it's also the fact that lots of people want to eat with their mates or in their family or in their household, their flatmate mates, whatever. And some people might be vegan, some might be vegetarian, some might like a little bit of meat every now and again. And everybody wants to share the same meal. And I think more than ever, we have to eat as a community and together. So let's not let the way we eat take us away from sitting down at the table together.
Brilliant. And it's full of delicious recipes. So everybody listening, you should definitely go and get it. So let's go back. Many people know you as kind of originally, I guess, as one half of the duo Hemsley and Hemsley with your sister. But further back than that, how did you get there? Were you always a foodie? What was it that made you kind of get into that?
Well, we fell into it, my sister and I, 10 years ago. Yeah, it's literally 10 years ago now. And
wow.
Through a very complicated but yet simple chain of events, we started cooking for Take That.
It's so great.
It's such a random story.
It's the best story ever. That was
which
it.
Which we never
and
used to talk about.
And cooking for Vogue as well. Quite well, luxury. No, or was Take That first?
Oh, so what happened was, and we didn't used to talk about, Jazz and I, about Take That, but no one ever said to us, don't talk about us, our celebrity clients. And no one ever said don't. We just thought, probably it's, you know,
yeah,
a bit
done.
More discreet not to. So we didn't. And then Gary Barlow brought out a book called A Better Me. And that was about a year ago. And he talked about Jazz and I and said, you know, he's an absolutely fantastic cook and always has been. But he talked about how prioritising the way he ate had such an impact on his physical and mental and emotional health. So that was really nice. Then I thought, OK, well, I guess I can
talk
chat
about
him
it.
Now. But no, there's not much to say other than I guess that's how the company started and that we fell into cooking for various people and Take That, including Gary, who are amazing and super supportive. And then their friends, actors and so on. And then we did that for 2 years, pretty much 7 days a week. We didn't have a name. We used to get called like the sisters.
The sisters.
Oh, can I get the number for the sisters? The sisters. And then we were like, we better get a bit more professional. Let's have a name. And we came up with Hemsley and Hemsley purely because it was our surname. It took us about a year
easy
to come up
remember.
With that.
I love that.
Well, you say that, but everyone always gets it wrong. They're like Helmsley and Helms and Lings and Lees. We answer to all. But then lots of our friends and family were like, well, you're cooking for these bands and they're feeling really good and they've got loads of energy and stamina to go on tour, but, you know, can you help us? And we didn't even write recipes down. I'd never written a recipe down. So then we were like, OK, well, let's start writing and documenting as we go. And then we were like, OK, so then we've got to put it somewhere. Where do we put it? At this point, Facebook was what you did to find your ex-boyfriend and so you could have a mental affair, you know, the boy you went to school with, whatever. Twitter was for like angry people. Instagram
yeah, it still is
really
for angry
it
people.
It is actually, isn't it? And Facebook, obviously, we don't do that anymore. We use it in professional
Nobody
sense.
Nobody uses Facebook.
No. And a little bit, yeah. I like it for events and catching up that way and inviting people to things.
I forget it. It's there most of the time.
We'll have a night in tonight. Yeah. And
get on Facebook.
Get back on Facebook and sit in the bath and enjoy yourself. But there wasn't anywhere to go, and this was the year of blogging. So I remember I followed Liberty London Girl and I think like one other blog, and I was like, well, I don't know what a blog is. And I remember Googling, how do you set up a blog? Anyway, old school, feels so 10 years ago. Set up a blog, and then I said, well, no one's going to read it. Who's going to read it? My mum. You've got the same mum as me. It's the same mum's reading it. Dad's not going to read it. No one was reading it. So then we went, no point doing all this effort. Let's find a magazine to team up with. I just went, I'm going to find a magazine to team up with. And then we were like, where should we go? And at the time, Vogue.co.uk was one of the only online magazines that had gone online. So we just asked everyone we knew for about 6 months to a year.
And that was that. I mean, that's sheer dedication though, isn't it? I mean,
it's
hard
asking.
Work. You've just got to keep, which is the way to do everything, is just to keep showing up, keep asking.
But also, I don't think, we didn't really have anything to lose. We were very happy that if Vogue had said no, we probably would have just carried on cooking. We're very happy. And sometimes I look back longingly to that time when it was as simple as getting up, sometimes 5 a.m, probably by the early morning, would have picked up some food from the market the day before, gone in, put Classic FM on and cooked all day.
Yeah.
Filled up someone's freezer, moved to someone else's house. It was so enjoyable. Just me by myself.
Yeah, nice.
Leaving little notes, reheat this like this, pop this in the oven, put this in the freezer, have a nice tour, enjoy your day, hope the food makes you feel good. I had so loved it.
So you like cooking. And I know because I've been to one of your suppers at home.
I like how you're going to say house party. It made it sound like raucous. It was over by 9.
I was actually
going
to say one of your houses, but I don't know where that came from.
Not doing that
just
well.
Just disclaimer, I don't know how many houses you have, but you don't, I know that
That
you,
would be just the one.
Just the one, which is great. You know, it's something we all aspire to. But I have been to one of your dinners, so I do know that you like to entertain.
Love it.
Just, you love it.
But did you see how I cleverly did it? I was like, everyone come and get
come
involved.
Come early and cook.
No, you were very good and got involved, didn't you?
Well, I like getting involved. But also, I think there's time and a place. Like, when it's my house, I'm chef. When you're at someone else's house, you are sous chef. And I really enjoy that. I really enjoyed being told what to do.
It was so great. But the day you came over, we were celebrating my friend Sarah Wilson.
Cookbook,
Australian lady. No, actually, she'd managed to write a cookbook.
No, it wasn't a cookbook.
And
it was the mental
a book
health
about
book.
Anxiety.
Exactly.
And the book is called First We Make the Beast Beautiful.
Exactly.
About living with anxiety and thriving with it. And so, again, it's all about sitting around the table. So I think there were 20, 25 of us, beautiful summer's evening.
It was amazing that night. It was
had
really
such a
lovely
time with you. Really great.
A lot of food, a lot of different colourful dishes. Is that what you normally do when you entertain? Is that like signature Melissa style?
I think so, because again, it's just, I want everybody... The way I grew up was my mum's very religious, so obviously church on Sunday, but on a Friday she would do Friday night prayers, and quite often it happened at ours, and people would turn up with food, either a dish or something to cook. Everyone would cook together, they'd pray together, then they'd eat, and then there would be enough for everybody to take food home.
Great.
So
leftovers.
That night everybody took... Do you remember we were all fighting over Mira's jar
and
Mira's
jam jars?
Yeah.
All those
yeah.
empty jam jars.
Did you take something home?
Yeah, I did. I think I took two jam jars of that doll home. Great doll. So do you get any requests for specific dishes when you're entertaining? Or demoing? Is there something that kind of you whip out time and time again that's kind of a classic dish?
I kind of would like people to give me more guidance, because otherwise I'm just a bit like, whoa, what shall I do? But I think people... Do you know what it is? Even when I know something, if someone else shows it to me in a fun way, I'll be like, oh my gosh, it feels so new and exciting. And it's the thing, we've got so much choice. There's so many different things we can eat. You know, we're sitting here now in East London. You and I could go and walk 1 minute in each direction and eat from
amazing food.
80 different cuisines. And sometimes I think that's incredibly overwhelming. And I even find I struggle to work out where I want to eat at night because there's so much choice. So I literally get guided by what's in my fridge. So today I was doing the filming, like I was saying, for kids, how to get more veg into kids. And I just went through my fridge and I was like, someone was like, shall I go and buy ingredients for you for the kitchen? I was like, I'll just use what I've got in mind. It needs using up. We don't need to buy anything else. And I love doing that. And that's something my mum taught me.
Yeah.
And I feel that I wasn't taught to cook when I was at school, but I feel like if we could get people to think about, teach people how not to waste over how mm-hmm. to cook. So how to mend instead of how to shop, or how to fix instead of doing things, I think that would be such a good thing.
Also ignore sell-by dates. I think that's something we need to teach people. Sniff, exactly, or just look at it.
Yeah, and it's tricky, isn't it? Because we can't really, when we publicly give out a recipe, you know.
Yeah, no, you can't say that.
You sort of have to be very, obviously, on the side of caution, but I've got pestos that have, you know, just keep on giving 2 weeks later.
The gift of life.
The gift of life.
Set all the garlic.
And, you know, all that garlic, all that oil, and lovely chutneys and all these things. And I think, I wish there was... on the corner of every street a place where you could just go, you know, that community. It's in Cambridge on my book tour, and they've got community fridges, and wouldn't it be so great if there are places you could just walk in and help yourself to food and cook together and leave a dish
but
and
I
walk
think,
away.
I think that kind of thing is happening. I think more and more things like that are happening. Even more, you know, take the Felix Project or Refectorio Felix as well, which is connected but different.
Recently,
but like things like that are so great. And it's not Refectorio Felix, for anybody who doesn't know what it is, it's basically a kitchen for people in need, and by that there might be homeless people or people who are struggling with addictions, but actually there are a lot of just kind of old people who go, who are a bit lonely, and they just go and they sit down, and every day they have a 3-course meal that's made entirely from food waste, and people get involved cooking and they get involved learning how to cook, and that kind of thing is incredible. And it's in this stunning venue, so it's like, I mean,
beautiful.
I want to go.
Church, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, you've cooked there, our mutual mate Tom Hunt's cooked there. I'm going to be cooking there.
It's great to cook there, actually. It's very fun. Oh, you must let me know. I'll definitely come.
Ah, thank you.
What about pudding? Are you a pudding person? Do you make puddings?
I really would rather eat cheese.
Oh, okay, really?
Yeah, I would rather eat cheese.
So dinner parties then? Dinner parties at your house,
I'll put
no
on
pudding?
Some sweets. No, I'll put on some sweets. I would probably, if someone said, can I bring anything?
You'd say bring pudding.
I would say bring pudding if I know they love to bake. Because some people, want you to ask them to bring pudding.
No, I know. That's so true. there are those people.
And I love them because, again, they compliment me.
It makes it easy.
Yeah, it makes it easy. And if people love to bake, and I don't love to bake. And I can do, you know, I've got in every book, I always leave the sweets at the end because I just, they're not something I crave.
Mm.
So I always get more excited about the bowl food, the nourishing food, the dals, yeah. the curries, the fun chutney. Sorry, I don't know what a fun chutney is, but all the garlicky, gingery, beautiful drizzles. And then by the time I get to the sweet, by then I'm like, yeah, bring it on. And I do quite simple things. So I really should have bought you some. Sorry, Alexandra. I've got a salted tahini and nut butter cookie is like
Yum.
Six ingredients. And managed to ace, I think, the vegan version as well. When everyone's like, I don't know if I like the vegan or the non-vegan better, which is
so
very
how do you
hard.
Do the non-vegan? Just I do it with the egg out.
Hello, a large mashed banana, and it's nice because it's not banana-y, because the tahini obviously has got the slight bitter
yeah.
notes, and you got the salty, and then the choc chip, and it's nut butter with it, and a little bit of salt, as I was
Winner.
Saying, tiny
gotta
bit of maple
those.
Syrup. Really, really nice.
So
actually, when you said demos and book tours, I went to one demo and I took on the train like 150 of these cookies. And that's a really nice thing to be able to do. I wish I could do that more.
Cookies are great though because you can make the batter if you want, if you're really organized,
yes.
you can keep those you
in
can
the
do
freezer
something, keep
as
in the
well.
Freezer and then whip it out and then it's done.
Yeah.
But also it's really fun and to have a hot cookie that... Because they take, what, like 8 minutes of the oven?
Coming out of the oven. So that's actually, I will say, so I've never been traditionally a sweet person, but because I've been baking so much, it's amazing how quickly you get addicted to sugary bits.
It's true, yeah.
And how much you end up craving. Like I would just reach for the cake tin. So my boyfriend would be like, oh, there's always a cookie to eat. So I'm glad that I don't have a sweet tooth. My mum, my dad and my sister all have horrific.
I know your
sweet
sister
tooth.
Has a sweet tooth, yeah.
And I'm glad that I skipped it, but I've got the cheese tooth. Is that a thing?
People have cheesecakes now instead of wedding. And by that I mean a cake yeah. of cheese, not a cheesecake.
Did you just hear my stomach thing. Grumble? Did that come through?
The word of cheesecake.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I mean, I know that we both share a philosophy on waste not, want not, which is something that I think more and more people are doing. It's not a weird thing anymore to kind of conserve your broccoli stalk.
No.
But I want to know your three top tips for avoiding waste in the kitchen.
I love what you just said, though, because I think that's... I don't know if it's an Olio ad or a Karma ad, you know, the food waste, food sharing apps, but I think I saw it coming up the tube one day and it said, when did it become weirder to waste food than to share it? And that really
that's so
has
true.
Stuck in my head.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true.
I imagine anyone that listens and loves your podcast is interested in food, so probably cherishes the food that they have. And I don't want to waste let's say, relatively speaking, the cost of, I don't want to waste a carrot as much as I don't want to waste, you know, a bit of cheese. Like,
yeah.
I would treat them both the same. I don't think that's cheap and that's my posh, fancy olive jar or caper jar, or I'm trying to think of the most expensive thing I've ever bought. But I would say, yeah, I'm guessing everyone's cherishes their food, respects it and so on, but if shit happens, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah
shit happens, life happens, you think that you're going to come home for dinner tonight, you get given a deadline that you have to pull an all-nighter or eat on your lap, or you know, someone asks you out on a date and you're like yes, or
you just can't be asked to cook, even sometimes I just can't be asked to cook.
You just can't be asked to cook. So what I would say the best thing to do is, I think, and this sounds so basic but it really works, is especially when I can't be asked to cook, I think frittata. I know you love
I love a frittata.
And I would say to anyone listening, it goes, oh god, I thought she was going to reveal something like really interesting. just hear me out, because a frittata can be, you know, there's so many different ways you can frittata. Often it depends on the size of the pan. If you use a small one, you get a nice, thicker, like
bubbly,
puffier one. If you use a wider frying pan, you can sort of make a pizza type omelette frittata. So it's quite a thin base, and then I'll put like some tomato on top and cheese and shove it under the grill with some anchovies and capers and olives. So that, for me, that's my, like, I ask myself, what's my limit? If it's 15 minutes, I go frittata every single time. If I've got 25 minutes, I might consider caramelizing some onions for that frittata for 10 minutes. Stir fry. And when I say stir fry, I mean, like, I'll go for two of my key ingredients, miso and tahini. So I'll make an amazing, right, miso tahini sauce. And then it almost doesn't matter what the veg is, especially if it's getting a bit limp and everything. But those are my go-tos. If I really can't be bothered, I make a little pact with myself that I will make something the next day that I can use. So whether it, when it's herbs and salad leaves and anything green, I'll go, right, tomorrow I'll make a pesto.
Yeah, and then just shove it in the freezer.
Just shove it in the freezer. Or I was speaking of my Bezzy mate. It's not really. I want him to be my Bezzy mate, Jamie Oliver. I did one of his recipes because I'm like,
cook
same
someone
with
else's recipe.
It's like it just ignites something else.
Yeah,
in
it's
you.
Also quite weird following recipes because I rarely follow recipes.
I hate following recipes. Yeah. And that's why my new book is all about freestyling and swapping in and out. But he did one and it just really caught my eye on Instagram, and it was Cavolo Nero and ricotta, and he blitzed it all up and it was bright
yummy.
Green. And so
as a sauce
for a pasta, and it took, and he did it all in the same pan, you know, genius Jamie or whatever. And then I was like, okay, well, I'll do a kale one, and I did it with cashews, and I think he had lemon and stuff, and I didn't have half his ingredients, so I made it up myself. So if I've got no energy, it becomes some sort of pesto or blitzed up fashiony thing, if not a frittata. And then I get my freezer involved. And I know that I'm lucky because I have a kitchen that I've built, basically, because the building that I bought was falling apart. So we've slowly been doing it up. And we started with the kitchen. It took about a year and a half. And it's obviously my place of work. So,
it's,
you know,
beautiful.
Thank you. I've got a big old freezer, right? So that was non-negotiable for me because I thought, I need that big old freezer. It saves you money. It's good. It's batch cooking. It stopped me from wasting. And it is full of stuff. And so I put things in ice cube trays. I keep things, you know, veg scraps just go in a container, and then when I'll
make a stock.
Boil up some stock. Yeah. And it's just about creating shortcuts. So you can't, there's no need to have 1,000 different ways to not waste food. You just need to have like the 5 key ones that work for you. And I think another thing is your fridge organization. So I always think, keep the fridge shelf that's at your eye level, the one where you always put food that needs using up.
That's
so
clever.
Because that's where you'll look. And especially when you go, I can't bother to cook. If I keep...
You see the broccoli or something.
And then in a way, I don't mean this to guilt trip us, but it is, if you can see it, it's hard to then go, oh, I can't be dealing with it. So I keep things there, or I keep things that are like, and then sort of also at eye level, I keep like my quick fire flavor savers, so like the miso, for example, because as we all know, miso will make anything taste complete and like a meal. And I always just think, if I want to make a meal, put an egg on it.
Yeah, so true. I was just gonna say put an egg on it. Have eggs around, you can do anything.
What do we say to our vegan friends though?
Well, this is the next thing I was going to talk to you about the vegan thing, because I know that
you can't put an egg on labels.
Well then, tofu?
Chickpeas? Interestingly, lentils. As I was working my way through the book, I was like, I'm really, you know, do you ever
there
feel
is
like
there
this?
Tofu in the book? No.
No, but do you know what? I don't love tofu.
Oh, I do kind
of love
tofu.
Could you make me tofu?
Have you had, I'm making tofu tonight actually for my brother. Tofu, that company, Tofu, T-O-F-O-O, make really good tofu. And in fact, whack it in a pan, add some tamari, bit of sesame oil, and then like tiny bit, if you want, a little bit of honey, a little bit of peanut butter or tahini, but crunchy. And it sort of coats and caramelizes in this sticky.
Sandra,
and it's
lovely.
Like got bite that on a stir fry instead of an egg.
I'm going to try that.
You can do that. And it lasts a really long time. So when you buy it, it doesn't expire. Even not that it, you could go over the expiry date, but for kind of like 6 weeks. So you can sort of do it and you've always got it. It's like a backup.
That's an
backup
excellent
thing.
Tip. Well, you know what? That's it. You've done to me what I say to people when they say they don't like something. So I don't
love
it.
I'll make tofu for you.
You just need to be shown
how
to do
it. Yeah.
And a new fun way. I just couldn't eat beetroot for a while. I had a bad experience with it where I guess it wasn't scrubbed well and it just tasted muddy and earthy. And then someone made me beetroot and I fell in love with it all over again. And I love that when someone cooks you something, you've not had it like that and you just go, wow. And I always love that, like over Christmas, you know, when you get people with new Brussels sprout recipes and you're yes.
So great.
Well, same with
Brock sprouts. Brussels sprouts do not get enough airtime. They're in season now. December is
give
not
them.
Brussels sprouts for life, not just for Christmas. That's what I say.
I feel the same way about parsnips. So one of my favourite ones is a parsnip dal in the book with these pickled onions.
I was
onions.
Looking at that today.
And I feel like parsnips are not just for Sunday roast.
Yeah, well, parsnips, they were originally known as pig food, weren't they?
Oh,
I have to say,
they?
I don't love parsnips. I'd go for a celeriac all the ways over a parsnip. What,
do you find parsnips a bit sweet?
I don't know what it is. I like carrots. I don't dislike them.
Yeah.
It's just I rarely buy them. I'll eat them. I just rarely buy them. I'll buy something else.
You'd rather go celeriac, would you?
I also just love how ugly they look. I just find them
hilarious. I'll tell you also what doesn't get enough airtime. Swede,
another one. I was just going to say swede is another one.
And do you know what I absolutely adore? And when someone goes, what did you love when you were a kid? And then I have like a couple of things that I'll say. And then I always kick myself as I'm leaving. I go, marrow. My mum used to stuff marrows. And I can't remember the last time I had a marrow. Are you not fat? You don't
No, I had. We have a lot of marrows at
do
home
you?
Sometimes. Yeah, because my mum forgets to pick the courgettes.
Send so
we
them
have
over.
Marrow time. Yeah, we do a lot of stuffed marrow. I've tried kind of griddling them as well. Stuffed is the way, though.
Stuffed's the way.
Stuffed
it
is
needs
the way.
A lot of flavour.
You can also make kind of like a... I did like a baba ganoush where I just really kind of kept frying it and charring it and then blitzed it with tahini.
I bet that was
if
good.
If in doubt, add tahini, yeah. Tahini and garlic.
That's the new if in doubt, put an egg on it.
Yeah.
If in doubt...
Hashtag tahini.
Add tahini.
So you talk a lot about sustainability sessions, but kind of anxiety, but also eco-anxiety. Would you like, you know, that's a term that I didn't really hear about till last year. And eco-anxiety is a thing. Do you think you have eco-anxiety?
I only heard about it. I've got anxiety for everything.
I mean, but eco-anxiety is, you know, like kids at school and stuff are suffering with.
Indeed. And eco-grief.
Oh God, what's eco-grief? Is that when you like forget your keep cup? Because I've definitely had that. I genuinely feel guilty holding a Pret thing and it's just not worth it.
Well, I've tried to say to myself, if I don't have my reusable cup, I'm going to go without. Or just sit and drink with my mug.
Drink in. Yeah, but
drink
you can't
in.
Do that in a Pret. And if that's the only place, then you're screwed.
Just have to go
at train
find
station.
Somewhere else.
But it's train station, getting on a train, forgot the keep cup, had to do it.
Well,
but otherwise, I'm with you.
I try and always just put a cup in my bag at all times. And sometimes I like, oh.
It's great because you can use it for water as well.
You can use it for water. Sometimes I put cookies in it, which obviously I have not brought for you today. No, I hadn't heard eco-anxiety like you probably till summer last year. And I think I really went, oh, and chuckled the first time I heard it, as sometimes we do when we first hear a word and it sounds unusual to us. But it sort of summed up the way I was feeling, which is why I started the sustainability sessions, which is feeling overwhelmed. I'm really not sure where I should best put my energy.
Yeah.
I feel like the earth is running out of time for us to stop making bad decisions. So if we want to make positive decisions, we're going to have to pool our knowledge and share what we know because we don't have time to figure it out by ourselves. And actually, I've really noticed now again, a big 2020 commitment is less time on my phone and more meaningful time on my phone. So I've just really realised how many more interesting people, well, interesting in different ways people I'm following now, like brilliant people from all around the world, but then also, you know, refill shops, farmers I follow. I just enjoy being
farmers
on my phone
great,
more.
Or like John the Poacher. Do you follow John the Poacher?
Yes.
Just, I'm just thinking about like things that just you wouldn't
do you know what
about.
I'm doing on Saturday? I am going foraging.
Poaching?
No. I'm going to go foraging in Marlene Cemetery.
That's cool. Do you know what
you'll
find there?
I should
there?
Have taken
like
you.
I mean, is it herbs,
no
mushrooms, everything?
Apparently the full... But that my friend and I, we've been mates since we were about 8. And yeah, she's going to be 34. And I said, do you want to go... Should I try and find
foraging.
Us a... It's very hard to find a spa that's not £10,000 in London, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here's an hour massage, it's £10,000. So I was like, do you want a massage or something? Or should we go foraging? She's like, let's go foraging, please.
Fun.
And yeah, Marlene Tube, and I shall let you know what I find.
Yeah, let me know what you find. Okay, so top three ingredients people should always have in their cupboard to throw together a quick dish for entertaining, like dinner party dish.
Three ingredients. Well, I think we've touched on them a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to struggle with the three limit. I'm going to go miso, but I will say, yeah, if you've tried miso before and didn't think you liked it, please give it another go, because one, there's a million different misos on the market. You've got dark, reds, whites that tend to be sweeter. They have different strengths and bitternesses, and you can pair them with all sorts of things: honey, citrus juices, maple syrup, garlic, ginger, the full works. And then, do you know Hodmadods?
Yeah, British Pulse is great.
The British Pulse pioneers Hodmadods, and they have something called a fava bean umami paste, which you can use like a miso.
And it is that, yeah. Oh, is it great?
You're gonna love it.
Because I was gonna say some like own brand, not naming and shaming, but some own brand supermarket misos are really not great. So I would try and get a kind of proper miso. The price is normally the same, to be honest.
Yeah, look for a
There's
good miso.
There's so many. Tideford, Miso Tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think who else do
Clear good Spring.
Miso. Clear Spring do a good miso. I sort of mix it up, to be honest.
I mix it up. And but check out Hodmadods, because I think it's super important to support British farmers. And it's interesting, and the fava beans have been growing. So it's not a miso paste, because a miso, I believe, is it has to be the properly fermented the Japanese way. But this is with fava beans, and it has got the same thing. So I love making miso, like adding a bit of miso to gravies and stews and dressings. And basically anywhere you want to have a depth of flavour, miso is your best friend. And a little goes a long way. And some can be expensive, but a little goes a long way. This is the year of the tahini, as we've said.
Year of tahini,
if in doubt,
yeah,
put a tahini on it.
And they work
tahini,
together.
And they work together. Miso and tahini are beautiful together. Tahini you could have in your cookies that you could make, the ones I mentioned, and you can waft them out of the oven smelling delicious and do that lovely little sprinkle salt over the gooey chocolate chips.
Yum.
What is the third ingredient I would say is a lifesaver? Again, we touched on it, an interesting sea salt. So a seaweed,
yeah,
sea salt,
nice.
Or my publishers gave me, they also work with Ottolenghi, maybe they got a deal.
Oh, an Ottolenghi salt.
A lovely Ottolenghi garlic chili salt, and it is beautiful.
It's a good salt. Good salt. Miso and tahini.
Exactly. And just chuck them all on an egg.
Chuck them all on an egg. Or tofu.
Or tofu.
Yeah, to be decided. And then your ultimate dinner party guests, dead, alive, fictional, anyone you want, who would you have for dinner?
Oh, I know it sounds really silly, but I have been trying to watch more, like, I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but silly TV. And by that, I mean, I am always really obsessed with crime dramas and thrillers and so on. So I've been rewatching, well, actually, they're not silly, they're super clever, but Gavin and Stacey, Miranda,
yeah,
Vicar of Dibley. So I would like Miranda Hart round mine. I would like Dawn French, but playing
Very
Geraldine
funny.
Granger,
Great.
The Vicar of Dibley. I would like her round mine. I would like Jesus. Because
really?
my mum also would obviously come, and
yeah,
she's very Catholic, so Jesus would be there. Who else? I mean, I could be here all day. How many am I allowed?
No, well, three, but you
okay.
know, we can give you five.
Dawn
Some
French.
People get five.
Vicar of Dibley, Geraldine Granger, played by Dawn French, Miranda, my mum.
And Jesus.
And
I
Jesus.
Love that. No one said Jesus. Jesus,
what?
Great. Yeah, no one said it. And you give them your classic. I wonder how Jesus would take tahini. I mean, pretty good. It's Israel, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he'd love tahini. Well, that was fantastic. So for anyone who doesn't know where to like follow along and keep up with what you're doing, where can people keep up with what you're doing? I know you've got lots of events for the book tour as well.
Oh, yeah. Come and see me at an event if you like. I'm at melissa.hemsley.
Melissa.hemsley.
.com? On Instagram.
Melissa.hemsley
on Instagram. Melissa, just Hemsley.
Hemsley.
Not just Hemsley, but
Melissa Hemsley.
No dot. Melissa.hemsley.com.
Brilliant. Well, that was great.
Thank you
so much. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you liked it, rate it, review it, talk about it, share it, and invite your friends round for supper. This has been a Studio 71 production. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.